for his name's sake. Amen.
Shall we open our Bibles together, please, this morning to Psalm 27? I've had a little cold and it went to my voice and sounds terrible. I feel fine, so if you can put up with the sound, that's fine. Let's read together Psalm 27, and I would like to read with you, please, first of all, one verse from this psalm, verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This is a wonderful psalm. I'm sure that all of you have enjoyed it from time to time. But I just want to take the first verse because I'm looking at the word light. First of all, the psalmist tells us the Lord is his light, and the Lord is his salvation, and the Lord is his strength. And I'm sure you that are the children of God, most of us here this morning, knowing the Lord Jesus as our own Savior, we realize that apart from the Savior, there's no salvation. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us at Calvary, our sins would never have been forgiven. There had to be the precious blood. In other words, we know the Lord is our salvation because there's no other salvation but himself. And then the psalmist said the Lord is his strength. And I believe that in this verse he's talking about a whole man. He's talking first of all about the spirit of a man. Then he's talking about the soul of the man. And then he's talking about the body. We all agree you can't be saved without a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be our salvation. And this is the precious soul, the person within the body that needs to be born again, that needs to be saved. But what about the strength? Do we really believe this morning that any little strength we have, the Lord gives to us? And those things that come into our lives as far as our body is concerned, it is the Lord. It's the hand of the Lord. And you and I as the children of God have to turn to the Lord this morning. And as the psalmist said long ago, say, "The Lord is my strength." We should be very thankful for the health and strength that we have. Oh, I think of our young people today, and many of them are robust and healthy, and they're children of God. And I've often thought, my, it must be wonderful to be that strong. It must be wonderful to have all that energy. But it's far more wonderful to use that strength and energy for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, child of God, to have health, but to be able to use it for the Lord God of heaven. The Lord is my strength. There is nothing happens to this body. There is nothing that comes to me as far as my body is concerned, but it's the hand of the Lord. The Lord knows all about it, and child of God, we have to leave it in his hand. I would say to you, very encouraging this morning, that you and I, each one of us, ought to turn to the Lord. And whatever comes in our life, as far as health is concerned, as far as the body is concerned, the Lord's interested in that too. Our salvation is of the Lord. Our strength is of the Lord. And oh, how thankful we should be for the health and strength that we have. And we should use it for himself. Oh, child of God, let me say to you this morning that while you're young, especially you younger ones, let me say to you very kindly that while you're young and while you have the strength and while you have health, live for the Lord. For the Lord alone knows that this body is subject to the physical things around it. This body is physical and it's subject to sin. You come to the place where maybe you won't be able to do what you want to do for the Lord, the things you could do now. But the first part of the verse has to do with the spirit of the man. The Lord is my light. And I want to say just a little bit this morning about light. It's interesting to notice as you look into the Word of God that light is spoken of in the way that it is. When we're talking about light in the Bible, we're talking about something divine. We're talking about something that comes from above. It's not a natural thing. Light in the Word of God is divine, and so is darkness. I was interested not long ago in sitting in a barber shop. I picked up Reader's Digest. I think it was 2 or 3 months ago. The issue talks about darkness. If you have a copy of it, you ought to read it. It's very interesting. The scientists have discovered now what darkness is. The Bible has been telling us this ever since we've had a Bible, but now they've discovered it. They said that they used to think that darkness was the absence of light. That all that happens, of course, the sun goes down, so it gets dark. Well, they found out it's more than that. It just isn't because the sun went down. Because some scientist came along and he started measuring all the candle power of the stars and the reflection of the moon. And he found out that there's really more light at night than there is in the daytime. And yet it's dark. You can't figure it out. And the old timers thought, well, there was a fog or a mist came over the world. But then they sent up an astronaut and he said he could see the lights when he was going around the world in his little box up there. He said there couldn't be a mist, though, because he could see the lights. He could see the lights in Australia. So they've thrown that away, and now they decided that darkness must be something that's peculiar to itself. It's something that's different. Well, actually, what happened, God created it. God said it was different. God made the light. It's not a natural thing. God has such a thing as a divine light. And then God put the sun in the sky, and that's what we call natural light. And God created darkness. And the darkness that was darkness to the Egyptians was light to the Israelites. Now, that wasn't natural. This was a supernatural thing. And when God sees fit to send the darkness at night, he sends the darkness that he created. And it's from the hand of God. And God created it. And man doesn't understand it. And man never will understand it. It's something that's beyond our thinking. And child of God, when you look into the Word of God and you read about dense darkness, remember you're not reading about something that's just common. Let me make my first application to the unsaved. The unsaved man comes and he sits in the audience and he listens to the gospel of the grace of God. And he says, of course I know the Lord Jesus died for me. Of course I know I'm a sinner. We've all sinned against God. Why isn't that man saved, let me ask you? This world is full of people who know the Lord Jesus went to Calvary and died for them, and they're not saved. This world is full of people who know they need a Savior, and they'll never be in heaven until they have a Savior. And they know they need Him, and some of them want Him, and they're still not saved. Because the darkness that you read about in connection with a lost soul is a dense darkness. It's a spiritual darkness. It's something, my friend, that Satan knows a lot more about than we think. And the mind is blinded so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ just can't shine in unto them. The Spirit of God has to open the eyes. The Spirit of God has to take away the darkness and send in the light. And when He sends in the light, child of God, it's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You are a child of God this morning and you know something about the light of God. Now, this is what the psalmist is talking about. He said, the Lord's my light. He enjoyed the sunlight, there's no doubt about it. But he said, the Lord's my light. And the Lord God of heaven is light. I want you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the New Testament. And I would like you to look with me at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Because when we're talking about light and darkness, Ephesians chapter 5 is a wonderful chapter to turn to. It gives a lot of information about it. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Now it does not say a darkness. It does not say the darkness. It says you were darkness itself. You are and were darkness in your sins. Now all you have to do is look at the unsaved man this morning. Even a man that's a good man. Even a man that's a very intelligent man. But unless the Spirit of God has stirred that man about his need of a Savior, he is in such dense darkness, it's amazing. And a man who is a wonderful man in business, and a man who is probably a very fine father at home, could still be so in darkness
that he just doesn't see any need of a Savior. You might say, well, he's the finest fellow. Well, he seems to know just what you need and the time you need it. But he doesn't know he needs a Savior. And he doesn't seem to have the least idea about where he's going. Graff and I went in a store in Atlantic not too long ago, and there was a dear old gentleman sitting waiting for his wife. She was going around with a basket getting groceries. And, of course, Grandpa Hill, being an older man, he turned to the old gentleman and he said, "How old are you?" And the old gent said, "I'm 85. And Grandpa said, "Well, you're older than I am, but not too much. You're not too much older." He said, "You know, you're not going to live another 85 years. And the man laughed. He says, "Boy, you bet." He said, "We're not going to last that much longer." He said, "I don't think you and I are going to be here very long." Grandpa said, "You know, that's true, isn't it?" He said, "Where do you think you're going when you die?" And up until that point, the fellow was, oh, he smiled and he was friendly. You know, a little town, they're friendly anyway. They were talking over things. Boy, he clouded up and he says, "You can't know where you're going." And Grandpa said, "Wait a minute." He said, "I know where I'm going. The Bible says that if the Lord Jesus is your Savior, your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home." Listen to this verse. And he quoted him John 3:16, John 5:24, some of the good gospel verses. The old man turned around, and just about that time, Grandma was coming through the turnstile with his groceries, and he said to Grandpa, "Your wife's waiting for you." He knew he was dying. He knew he wouldn't be here very long. But he had no interest at all in where he was going. My friend, that's dense darkness. That's what the Word of God is talking about it was when it says, "Ye were darkness." You are darkness. But thank God, as you come down the verse, it says, "But now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now he says, "You were darkness, but now you are light." That's wonderful, isn't it? A child of God actually is light. Now, notice what it says in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And the Word of God makes it clear to us here that what light does is manifest. What darkness does is cover up. And that there is a real difference here. That darkness is ever covering up. That darkness is ever that which is opposed to the Lord. That light is that which is ever exposes and manifests and makes manifest. And is that which is linked to the Lord. And you are the children. You are the children of God. You are light. That's wonderful, isn't it? I often wonder when you meet some Christians, they're so downhearted, and I know things are in the world are not what they ought to be. I know the world is getting darker. But if you and I actually realize that now that we have taken Christ as our Savior, we are light. We are light. And we are not only light, but we are in the light. And we have the Lord Jesus within us, and He is light. That then the child of God would have a real incentive to live for the Lord. Because he realizes that the Lord Jesus dwells within him, that the Spirit of God dwells within him, and that he's been brought out of the realm of darkness into God's marvelous light. Child of God, I'm convinced in my heart, as many today say they accept the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior, they do not really realize what has happened. They were lost, they were in darkness, they were darkness itself. They were headed to a lost eternity, and they were going into the lake of fire, which is dense darkness. And the darkness that wrapped the Lord Jesus at Calvary's cross was a divine thing, and they were going into this darkness, and they're going into it eternally. But when God saves their precious soul, they are lifted out of the realm of darkness, and they are put into the realm of light. And as a child of God, this should really cause the child of God to live for him. The interesting thing about light, especially when you turn to 1 John chapter 1, if that light in the Word of God is seen in four ways. It could be when you're reading about light and the children of light in the first epistle of John, that you're reading about the glory of the Lord. Because often in the Word of God, when you read about light, it is His glory. The light of His glory. And it's kept separate from the other scriptures. I mean, there is a difference. Then sometimes when you read about light in the Word of God, you're reading about the truth of God. The truth of God as it's made manifest to the intellect of the believer. I know we believe with our heart. I believe that too. That we must do this thing with our heart. But what I'm saying is, as you study the Word of God, you learn a truth from the Word of God. This is light. This is the light of the Word of God. Sometimes it's speaking of His glory. Sometimes it's speaking of truth. Sometimes it's speaking of purity. It says, God is light. And it's referring to a pureness, to a holiness of God. And in the fourth place, sometimes light in the Word of God is linked to fellowship and to communion of the believers with the Lord and with one another. Light is used in these four ways. John's first epistle is a wonderful chapter in connection with this. First of all, look with me at 1 John 1 and 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now we find that God is light. It said that we were darkness, and now we are light. But it says that, first of all, God is light. And in this reference, in this particular verse, it's talking about not only the pureness of God, not only the holiness of God, but it's also talking about the glory of the Lord. He is in light, and He is light. That's wonderful, isn't it? There's no darkness when it comes to the child of God. I believe if the young Christian would get a hold of this, we'd have a different view of other Christians, for one thing. I've often told this story, and I think I tell it to our shame, but I want to tell you again. I only met Mr. Barnhouse once in my life. He was quite a preacher, you know. He was a good Bible student. He's in heaven now. He published a magazine called Eternity. Many Christians take his magazine. There are a lot of articles you couldn't accept, I wouldn't accept. But the man was a real child of God, and he really was a good teacher of the Word of God. In Pittsburgh at noontime, he had all the businessmen meet together in a big building downtown, and they would come and eat their lunch at this building, and then he would take a portion of the Word of God. Now, mind you, almost, I believe the day I was there 2 days, there would be between 2,500 and 3,000 businessmen leave their business, their places of business in downtown Pittsburgh, hurry to this particular church building. And the reason they rented that, it had a cafeteria in it. They would eat their lunch, and he took a chapter out of the Epistle of John and read down it, and for about 20 minutes gave an exposition of John's epistle verse by verse. Now, the first thing that thrilled my heart was to see that many businessmen interested at noontime to come together to read God's Word. I mean, any child of God would have been thrilled to see it. But the thing that really saddened me was that when it was over, the man that I was with knows Mr. Barnhouse personally, and he said, I want you to meet him. And I was trying to walk out, and he said, come here. And he said to Mr. Barnhouse, this young man is holding children's meetings in Pittsburgh, in our gospel hall here. And Mr. Barnhouse had been speaking about this verse, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And he turned to me. That was the only time I ever met the man, and I was sorry that it had to be there. He said, and you're one of these people that believe that I'm in darkness. And he turned away. And he's not right, because I don't believe it at all. I don't believe that any child of God is in darkness. I believe that this verse is talking about the purity and the glory of God. And if you're a child of God, you're in the light, and you can't help being in the light. If you're truly born again, you're in the light. Now, he didn't say that we believed he walked in darkness. He said that we believed he was in darkness because he doesn't belong to our group, you see. I didn't think it was a very nice thing for an older man to say. I mean, I felt pretty bad about it. In the first place, I didn't believe that at all. I believe that any child of God, according to the verses that we have read, has been taken out of the realm of darkness and they're in the realm of light. And you can't do anything about it. They're there. Doesn't matter who they are. If you don't hold that, you certainly don't hold the security of the believer then. For when you're truly born again, you're in the light, for Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, and you're never going to be anywhere else, and you're going to be in heaven too. And that's marvelous if you're born again. But I want to make the difference in the four things here, you see. There is a difference, you get. This is talking about God is light. There is no darkness in the Lord God of heaven. The difference between the realm of the Lord and the realm of Satan is so far removed, it's as far as the east is from the west. There's no connection here. This is the same thought with you that you have in Corinthians chapter 10. You can't sit down at the table of the Lord and be at the table of demons too. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. You're either born again or you're not born again. And of course, many people don't know where they stand there, and you've got to start somewhere. That's a good place to start. If you've really been born again, you're saved by the grace of God, your sins are forgiven, and you're in the light. And you're to enjoy the light. But when you come down the chapter, we talk about walking in the light. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it's interesting, it always speaks about walking. You never read about running in the light or speeding in the light. It's always a walk. For the Christian's life is a walk. It's a step at a time. And yet sometimes it's a little more than a step. Remember Abraham. God said to Abraham, now Abraham, take your son, the son that you love, and bring him to Mount Moriah and offer him up there as a sacrifice for me. Now Abraham knew how far to go. He knew his son was to be offered as a sacrifice, and he went right ahead. One thing about that I've often thought about is, God left the particulars up to him. I don't think there was any details there as to whether he was to take another man. He did take a man with him, you know. He said, the young men and the ass stay here, and I'll go on with the young man. He said, you stay here. The Lord didn't say anything about the animal. I don't think he explained to him about the fire. The Lord didn't have to. The Lord left that to his judgment, but he said, look, I want you to bring your son and offer him as a sacrifice. And he took his son, and he went just as far as he knew to go. He was walking in the light of the Lord. And in this case, the light is the truth of God. It is that truth, that intelligence, that we know this is what the Word of God says, so this is what we're going to do. And he walked, and he took his son, and he went to the mountain. But as he was about to kill his son, the Lord didn't want him to do that, so the Lord stopped him. He raised his hand, and the Lord said, wait. He said, you turn, and there's a ram in the thicket. Now, he didn't know about the ram when he started up the mountain, did he? He didn't know about that part of it. But he was willing, and he had enough faith in the living God to go as far as he knew. And the Lord is only going to ask you to do what you know. If you will study the Word of God, and as you read the Word of God, you see that you ought to do this or you ought to do that. Let's take the subject of baptism. Take the subject of remembering your Lord. Take the subject of giving to the Lord's work. Take the subject of living as a good testimony. Take any of the truths of the Word of God as you see them, and you're willing to do them, then the Lord will show you something else. This is light. This is light. This is teaching from the Word of God. But then again in this chapter, the light is linked to the, walking in the light is linked to the fellowship of one with another. And some may say, well, I know that unless we're going to walk together, we're not going to know fellowship down here, but what does this light have to do with it? Well, oftentimes in the Word of God, light is linked to fellowship. This is a wonderful thing. that fellowship in the Word of God and communion in the Word of God is linked to the light, to divine light. In other words, in my own heart, when I see a group of Christians working together and praying together and preaching together and serving together, someone says, well, they have the truth of God. They have the light of God. Sounds good. But when a group of Christians get together, small or large, and there's all kinds of difficulties and there's all kinds of trouble, and they say, we have the truth of God. We have the light. It doesn't ring true. Because light is linked to fellowship in the Word of God, you see. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy fellowship together. It's a wonderful thing to work together. And the Lord uses individuals. I know that, but He also uses a collective company. It's interesting to go in amongst a group of people who really are out and out in the things of God and to see the light of the Word of God at work. The truth of the Word of God at work. It has to do with linking brethren together too. Fellowship, communion of the saints of God. In other words, if they really have light from the Word of God, they're going to love God's people and they're going to band together with God's people and they're going to work with God's people. This summer I had a Bible school in a new place. I'd never been there before, but I heard a lot about it. It's in a city, and they said, well, it's really a gospel work is what it is. Three or four families went over to the other side of town and started a gospel work, and they said, you'll be amazed, because Sunday morning we remember the Lord. It was just a handful of us. It wasn't very many at all. And they said, we were having a gospel meeting that night, and they said, they were putting up chairs. I said, putting up chairs? I said, what are you doing? They said, this place will be packed tonight. This place will be packed to the door. This is the gospel effort. We've reached the neighborhood. Bible hour came around. Here comes in the neighbors. It's a gospel effort. They're working together. Now, these brethren, well, boy, you could walk up the street in two directions and there's another gospel hall, a big meeting. They could be over there in the big place enjoying themselves. And one of them is a very large assembly. And I said that to the young fellow. I said, boy, I didn't know you were this close together. The other gospel hall is just up the road there. He said, sure. He said, we have three within just a little distance. But he said, the reason we came to this neighborhood, we found out through children's work we could get the people in. This is a gospel effort. And on the night of the Bible school program, the place was packed to capacity. They had to put chairs in again. It's amazing. And here's just a small group of Christians, you see. Just a handful of them. I think there are only four families from the other meeting. And they're meeting together, and they're carrying on this work, and they have their building, and the idea is to get the gospel to the neighborhood, to get the gospel to the unsaved. I think that's wonderful. Someone might say, but are they carrying out all the truths of God, all the light that we have concerning an assembly? Well, as far as they can, they are. They're very small. But look, when I see these people coming in and hearing the gospel and see this small group of people getting along and working in this area, to me, this is the light of God. This is what light's talking about. For when the truth of God, when the light of the Word of God gets a grip upon a child of God, that child of God will carry out His Word and will seek to carry it out in the things of God. So we have the four things. We have the light of His glory spoken of in the Word of God. We not only have that, we have His purity. We have the light speaking of as the truth of God, the things we learn from the Word of God, that we walk in, that we carry on. And I think just like Abraham, we can go just as far as we know to go. And you may say, well, I don't know whether I should make this move or that move. I don't know just what step to take. The Lord will show you what step to take if you wait upon the Lord. He showed Abraham. He didn't let him kill the lad. He had a ram there, though he hadn't explained it to him. He had it all ready for him. And the Lord will show you. And it's a walk. It's a step at a time in the life of the Word of God. And here it is linked definitely to fellowship. And then you'll find that when you read down the chapter, you come to the place of having, saying you have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And we go back to this main point that Ephesians gives us. That when there is light, then sin is manifest. When there is light, then things that are wrong are manifest. When the light of God is seen, the darkness is dispelled. Darkness covers up, light makes manifest. And light is, as far as we are concerned, is found in the precious Word of God. When I turn to the Word of God and I hear the psalmist saying this, the Lord is my light. It's more than just saying, well, I'm saved now, because he said the Lord is his salvation. It's more than even saying, well, I look to the Lord for my daily strength and for the things I have in this life, because he said the Lord was his strength. The light is definitely something that is real. It's something that each child of God should be enjoying and should really know about, especially our younger brethren. Well, I would say to them very kindly that once God has saved your precious soul, you know you're going to heaven. You're a child of the light. And you belong to the people of God. And God has put you here for a purpose. Now study God's Word. And remember that when you read about the light of the truth of God, it's not only something that you enjoy, too, but it's something that you walk in. Someday we're going to be in real life. We're going to know what this really is. Because in heaven, the Lord Jesus is the light. I've often thought about the tabernacle. I heard a man say once, if you walked into the courtyard of the tabernacle, you'd see the sunlight, because the tabernacle was out in the desert. It would be a bright sun, although the cloud was for a covering. There was light there. Then as you would come into the first part of the tabernacle, there would be the golden lampstand, and it would be lit, and the oil would be burning. And then in the Holy of Holies is the presence of the Lord. And he made some reference to you have to keep trimming the wicks to keep this lamp bright. Well, I know they did that. I realize that. But it was the brightness of the light I started worrying about when I got home. You know, I've wondered about it. I just wonder if the brightness of that lampstand, I just wonder if it wasn't even brighter than the courtyard, the sunlight. Because this had to do with the Lord Jesus. And when you went into the Holy of Holies, the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, I know that was brighter. I just wonder if the progression wasn't, the natural light was dull compared to God's golden lampstand that spoke of his Son, compared to the marvelous presence of the Lord, the light of the presence of the living God. This is a marvelous. We live in a darkness. We don't realize how dark it is in the world around us. We just don't realize it. Satan has blinded the men and women of our day. But we are living in a dense darkness. And let me tell you, it's more than just a natural darkness. This is a supernatural darkness. Hearts are darkened. Minds are darkened. Ways are darkened. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of this world, shines into the heart of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. They take Christ as their own personal Savior. I tell you, there's light there. You and I, who were raised in Christian homes, who were brought up in homes where the Word of God was read, little do we realize how much darkness was dispelled when the light came in, when Christ came in. Last Tuesday night in Chicago, a girl stayed at the close of a gospel meeting, a 16-year-old girl, her mother's Christian Scientist, and speaking her in the truths of the Christians or the teachings of the Christian Science Church. The little group at River Forest had been trying to reach her for the Lord. They've been working with her in clubs. They've been working with her. They tried to get her to Sunday school. This girl has really been thinking about her soul. After the meeting, she went home. She left her own home at 11 o'clock and went over to the Christian that had been bringing her to the meeting. And she said, I want to get saved tonight. She took the Lord Jesus as her own personal Savior on Friday night when she came to the last meeting of the series. I asked her if she would mind telling us how she got saved. I asked her if she knew she was lost. She said, yes. I know there's sin. And I not only know their sin, I see the sin in my own home. And I want to know my sins forgiven. But I said, how do you know you're saved? You come from a home where the Word of God isn't taught. She said, well, I don't know how to say it the way you people say it. But she said, when I left my home and I went over to see the Christian that brought me to the meeting Tuesday night, I didn't have something that I needed, and I didn't have something that I wanted. And that something was a person. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I walked out of the home that night and I went home again, she said, it seemed like I was walking on a cloud. She said, do you know what I mean? And I said, well, now it's been a long time since the Lord saved me, and you don't hear too many real good, clear walking on cloud conversions today, but I'm sure glad. I know what you mean. I said, what happened? She said, I don't even remember turning the corner when I got home. And she said, I couldn't wait till morning to tell Mom what happened to me. And she said, I can't put it in the words that you people put it in. This was a public testimony. She stood up. I can't put it in the words that you people put it in. But she said, I want to tell you, what I didn't have when I went to the home that night, I had on the way home. She said, I have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's light, my friend. That's wonderful light. That dispels the darkness. That brings the young person, 17-year-old girl. She turned to me and she said, Mr. Morgan, do you smoke? I said, no, I don't. She started naming other things. I said, wait a minute. What are you getting at? She said, I have a terrible conscience about some things I do. Should I quit? I said, I don't know what they are. But whatever they are, if the Lord has brought the conscience, you quit. The light is coming. No one told her this. Isn't that marvelous? The light of the entrance of the Word of God. The light of the entrance of the person of God. Child of God, this is wonderful. Every child of God in God's light. Every child of God being asked to walk in that light of the truth of God. Every child of God asked to enjoy the fact that He and the Lord God of heaven is actually light, is actually the God of heaven is purity. And actually that the God of heaven is in a light in glory that you and I are going to know about. When that loved one closed their eyes in death, my friend, they opened their eyes in the most marvelous light that they've ever known. The light of glory. And we're all going to be there someday. Our brother gave out a hymn before I began to speak this morning. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Have you ever noticed the first verse of this hymn? The hymn writer tells us that when you walk in the light of the Word of God, and this is the truth of God revealed to the individual child of God, there is a glory light that shines on your way because you're not in the realm of darkness at all. You're in the realm of God's marvelous light.